Because in Minnesota, we respect our neighbors and the personal choices they make. And even if we wouldn't make those same choices for ourselves, we've got a golden rule. Mind your own damn business.
How many times are we going to hear this? I noted last night after, because I moved my son into his college dorm. It was a super long day and then drove hours back and then had to dive into this DNC nonsense. And I noted that this is his unburdened by what has been, like the thing that Kamala Harris always says. It's his unburdened by what has been. He says it so many times, like mind your own damn business. And this is again, the guy who created the snitch line, just to remind everybody, he created the snitch line. And it just seems so cheesy for him to keep saying this stupid crap over and over again. I'm a crabby because I was up late watching this stupid mess because none of these people running this thing know how to keep anything on time. I want to point out that he didn't go on. He literally did not go on until, what was my time stamp on my notes? I mean, he was speaking at like 11. It was like 11 something o'clock. So that's midnight on the East Coast, right? So can I just point something out, how stupid it is? This is your vice presidential guy and your ticket. The guy on your ticket, and you're trying to introduce him to the nation because nobody, if you're not a political nerd, and even some of the political nerds don't even know much about him, this is like the first time that he's being introduced to the nation, and you've got, East Coasters out there on the East Coast, Georgia's on East Coast time. Yeah, Georgia's on East Coast time zone. That's a state that Democrats are really wanting to win. And he's speaking towards the end of the whole night when they're like going to bed. And so I don't understand the point of having him speak at the very end of all of that. At the very end of the night when everybody's going to sleep and you need those voters. You need the DNC people. You in Georgia, you need those people. And they're in bed because he's at the end of the damn night. Welcome to the show. It's good to be with you. This, what is it, Thursday? Golly, we saw how many days we have of this stuff. Did you watch it, Kane?
No, I watched some highlights via Twitter.
Hate you.
Or X, sorry.
So welcome to the program. Dana Lash with you. We're at the top of this very first hour. Channel 347 DirecTV, Conversation at Rumble, also on X. The the length of this, number one, they had Bill Clinton who got up there and went forever. He went forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. He got up there and just talked forever. His voice made my throat hurt, if I can be honest. Just listening to him talk, I don't know whose voice gets me more, RFK Jr.'s or Clinton's. They just both have that gravelly, ugh. But I don't understand what they're about. And I thought it was really weird to bring up your vice presidential candidate, the guy that you are having at the very, he's your vice presidential ticket on your ticket. And you have him at the very end of the night when half of the people have gone to bed and he doesn't give a speech about any of what he really believes. He doesn't introduce himself. And he kind of talked about Kamala Harris. I mean, a little bit. He sort of talked about her. I mean, that really wasn't much either. He didn't, it was just a bad speech, I thought. He went out there and did you see all the white guys that they had on the stage? So that was all people, I guess. He was assistant coach for like a year, right? And like for a year. Why do they keep calling him coach? I got questions. I mean, I don't know. Why do they keep calling him coach? Just not sure about that. Anyway, so he's out there, a bunch of white dudes out there too. And I don't know. I was just bored to death by his speech. I didn't, Then he did this. This was, audio soundbite 14.
I had 24 kids in my high school class. And none of them went to Yale. I had 20.
So he does this thing where he, I don't understand. He does this thing where he keeps hitting out at Yale because J.D. Vance went to Yale. I thought they loved Yale. I thought they loved Ivy League schools. That's a big thing with the left. They love Ivy League schools. They love all of that stuff. Apparently they don't if a Republican goes there. So they, I don't know. He keeps hitting that. He keeps hitting the whole mind your damn business. But the thing with the Yale, I made mention of this last night. The left absolutely hates J.D. Vance's overcoming poverty story. They do. They hate it. They hate his story of overcoming poverty for a very big reason. They do not like poor people thinking that they, the poor people, can change their status themselves without government help. And J.D. Vance's story disproves that narrative. They want poor people to think that they are forever stuck in this economic status and that the only way that you can get out of it is with the assistance of the government. And when you have examples of that, that undermine the narrative that they use to control people, they get very, very offended and they are very, very caustic towards it. Like, that's why they keep hitting this. They keep hitting J.D. Vance like, oh, well, J.D. Vance didn't go to... By the way, do you know how many people up there on stage went to Yale? And that's the other thing, the irony. I mean, Bill Clinton was up there. That doesn't make any sense to me. I don't understand why they keep making that point, especially... Didn't he go... He went on after. J.D. Vance was on after Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton spoke several people ahead of Tim Walz. Also on stage that night was Cory Booker, who also went to Yale. Then you had Amy Klobuchar, who spoke up there. Guess where she went? She went to Yale. You had Jamie Harrison, who spoke up there. Guess where Jamie Harrison went? To Yale. Amanda Gorman went to Harvard. Pete Buttigieg went to Harvard. You had all of these people up there that all went to these Ivy League schools. I mean, Oprah Winfrey got an honorary degree from Harvard. So what is he going on about? He went up there and was railing against the school that half of the people on stage attended. But it's supposed to be a stickler because it's Vance, and I don't get it. So Vance made himself from nothing and achieved the American dream, and that's a bad thing. We're going to talk more about this because this is a very weird thing that they found themselves in. They keep talking about wealth inequality, and the weird thing is it's all these billionaires that get up on stage, people like J.B. Pritzker and Oprah that get up on stage and talk about it, and then everyone else doesn't recognize the irony of it. It's just wild. So this, it was a, I stayed up and watched it. Like I said, we moved in one of my kids to their college dorm yesterday, came back and immediately had DNC stuff. So it was a very full day. And if you get the prep newsletter, it went out a little bit late today because your girl was burning midnight oil working late. It did me. So sent that out. And I included some of the stuff in there. There's some very, we're going to highlight it so you can follow along with it. But there's some, there were some interesting moments and some very interesting sound bites that highlight what I think is the complete Marxist, the final Marxist takeover. It's been proceeding for quite some time, but it's in its full now. And that it was evident in every single comment from every single speaker. And they all talked about joy. That's the other thing. It was like they all had to mention how joyous they were and how much joy they felt. And I don't understand that either because all they were doing was just bitching about the people who've been in charge the last several years. Oh, that's them, by the way. They were the ones. They were the ones who were in charge. They're still in charge. They keep saying Kamala Harris is going to do this. Kamala Harris is going to do that. And why can't she do it now? Why can't she do it now? That doesn't make any sense. She's there as the vice president now. And then you had this audio sound by 12. Nancy Pelosi also spoke. She went up there. Listen to this.
January 6th was a perilous moment for our democracy. Never before had a president of the United States so brazenly assaulted the bedrock of our democracy, so gleefully embraced political violence, so willfully betrayed his oath of office. Let us not forget who assaulted democracy on January 6th. He did.
What about leading up into the election? What about the assault on democracy that took place when you locked everybody down and shoved them into their homes under threat of penalty if they left them? If you want to have a discussion about assault on democracy, what about the rioting that took place the night of the inauguration in 2016? And you had and after that, the summers after that, where you had cities burned, someone tried to set fire to the church that's there in the Capitol. That's never brought up by these people. Well, the other thing, too, they're sitting here talking about J6. J6 can go pound sand. I don't give a rat's ass about J6. I don't give a rat's ass about J6 because this entire election should be a reckoning about what lockdown did to everyone. And the fact that it's not, I don't care about any of your other grievances. If people cannot be enraged still over what the lockdown and pandemic did to everyone, did to the economy, did to their kids, did to their families, their relationships, and the very psyche of this nation, then I don't care what the outcome of the election is. I hope we all get hit by a giant asteroid because we deserve the burning, fiery death that will be the consequence of that. I'm not kidding. I don't care. Kane, I'm past being a cynic. I don't care.
I feel it.
I don't care. I mean, you know, there were people who watched their loved ones die alone on the other side of hospital glass. And we're going to sit here, J6, you had some people that broke some stuff in the Capitol. No one's saying that that's okay. You absolute rat bastards. No one's saying that's okay. Of course, you know, when you guys set off a bomb in the Senate Hart building, that's all right. When you guys tried to undermine a free and fair election in 2016 by trying to lock up your political opponent, that's all right. That's okay. Right? When you do entrapment with Big Gretch up there, that's all right. I mean, how long do you keep going? When you get Fed boys out there to try to do the observance of J6, and they're literally Fed boys and they're on camera having to show their badge because they get caught by another Fed boy, that's okay. I'm just tired of all of it. I'm tired of this whole political culture is garbage. And the fact that there is not it almost makes me, it used to be fun to do politics. And lately, I feel like we live in an idiocracy. And I was watching it on stage last night. In full on stage last night. We're going to highlight some of this. Also, some of the, because Harris speaks tonight. So she talks tonight. She's everyone's like, she's got to give the speech of her life. She's got to give I am just waiting to see what kind of circus they do to introduce her. We've got that to preview. We're going to highlight some of a little bit of the policy that we're kind of seeing from this. And of course, the massive scandal after a million jobs just vanished from the jobs report right up into the ether. We're going to hit on that as well as we move. I agree with Annie Oakley, who said, quote, I would like to see every woman know how to handle guns as naturally as they know how to handle babies. Now, I myself regularly conceal carry a 9mm. Now, that said, not every woman is like me, has had the hours of training that I've had, or feels comfortable around firearms due to years of use, or maybe they're by a gun-free zone. I'd like to change that what I can while encouraging self-defense at the same time. So this is where Byrna comes in. It's kind of like a starter weapon. They make a non-firearm firearm. I like the idea of incredible force sending chemical irritants towards a threat as an additional option for women. And the Byrna SD model shoots chemical irritant projectiles, 68 caliber rounds that can deter threats in their tracks up to 50 feet away. I mean, it hits hard. Easy target acquisition, zero recoil. Byrna is legal in all 50 states. There's no background checks, no permits required. It's shipped directly to your door. Gun-free isn't applicable to Byrna. It's great for wherever guns are banned. Visit Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off. That's BYRNA.com/Dana.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So apparently, okay, neither Kane or I find this to be scientific. They say eating meat raises risk of type 2 diabetes, says a study. What? Regular consumption of 50 grams of processed meat a day. You're supposed to eat bugs and sit in the desert. They say it's equivalent. It's processed meat a day. I know. That's the problem. They go, if you eat regularly, if you eat processed meat, equivalent to 2 slices of ham, that's associated with a 15% higher risk of developing diabetes, they said. Eating 100 grams of unprocessed red meat, they said raises the risk by 10%. I don't even believe that either. I think that's a lie. I eat red meat as often as I can. You should eat red meat. You know why? Because you have canine teeth. You have enzymes in your liver and different a chemical, for the lack of a better way to put it, biome in your gut to process meat, because we are carnivores. The end. You can choose not to be, you know, but that doesn't change the fact of it. This is just them trying to swindle you into not eating red meat because they want you to eat bugs and be sickly and anemic and sad and live in the desert in a tiny house like you see on HGTV's Tiny House Nation and own nothing. That's what they want. That's the whole point. For aging men, they said finding a spouse unlocks the fountain of youth. This is bad news for the Taint brothers. Finding a spouse unlocks the fountain of youth. A happy marriage actually helps, I think, everyone, men and women, age gracefully and live with vigor and vitality. Did you really need to study for that, though? No, you didn't. Let's see. Kamayanism. Ford delays a new EV plant and cancels electric three-row SUVs as it shifts strategy. I'm happier about this, I think, more than anybody I know, because you guys know I hate EVs. Not because I don't like the gadgetry of it, because I'm tired of the proselytizing about EVs, and that's what all of this has been. So now Ford's like, nobody's buying our dumb cars. Guess we're going to have to make fewer cars than we planned. They said they're shifting to deliver better capital-efficient, profitable EVs maybe in the future. But they also have been also shifting to hybrids. So Americans think it takes $2.5 million to be considered wealthy in 2024. Well, none of us here are wealthy then. Wow. No, that's crazy. Thanks, Bidenomics. Thanks, inflation. So coming up, which of the billionaires on the DNC stage took more than they needed? I'm curious. We're going to talk about that coming up. If you haven't switched to Patriot Mobile and you use your cell phone service, dare I say more than Netflix or Amazon, I don't even know what you're upset about. If you have not made the switch, I have no idea what you're complaining about. They could not make it more easier if they broke up into your house and actually switched over your cell phone service on your phone for you. They make it so simple. They want to save you money. I mean, maybe people aren't broke and maybe inflation isn't real, right? Or maybe it's just an imaginary thing and you're fine with being on your super expensive cell phone service. Switch to Patriot Mobile. My gosh, they make it so easy and they actually give a lot of momentum, put a lot of momentum behind the things that you vote to protect every time you go to the ballot box. You get great nationwide coverage, all three major networks, keep your phone or your number, upgrade. You get a free month of service when you use code Dana, and they have a 100% U.S.-based crew. Visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and get a free month when you use offer code Dana. Don't be fooled by pretenders. Go with the real thing. PatriotMobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT.
Keep your finger on the pulse with the Dana Show podcast, delivering timely news with insightful analysis whenever you want, straight to you on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You see, my mom, in her steady, quiet way, lived out that striving sense of hope every single day of her life. She believed that all children, all people have value, that anyone can succeed if given the opportunity. She and my father didn't aspire to be wealthy. In fact, they were suspicious of folks who took more than they needed.
Not for the love.
They understood that it wasn't enough for their kids to thrive if everyone else around us was drowning. So my mother volunteered.
You know what? I wanted to play this. I know this is from the other night, but I have other audio from tonight from last night that gets into this, because this is this Marxist garbage that has permeated, and this is what the DNC is now. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. Find us channel 347, DirecTV, and also at Rumble, where the conversation happens. The audacity of lecturing people about, well, you know, they don't want people who take too much, took more than they needed. How many houses is more than you need? How many houses is that? Is more than you need? I was just looking at the beautiful Obama property portfolio. I don't know if you're aware of it. I mean, they're worth, what, $80 million net worth. They have multiple properties all around the world, luxury real estate holdings in Chicago. They have a beautiful estate in Hawaii. In fact, didn't they buy the old Magna PI estate And then they ended up getting, they paid off the government so that they could do something to the shoreline that they, that apparently actually hurts the shoreline, but they're the Obamas and they got millions of dollars. So, you know, the difference between them and everyone else following these rules is that they got money. And they got property in Massachusetts, Washington, D.C. In fact, Homes and Gardens did a huge tour of their coastal retreat on the beautiful Massachusetts Island looking up at the Hamptons on Martha's Vineyard. They said it's one of the more impressive properties on Martha's Vineyard. And I will say, after looking at the aerial shot, I can't disagree with this. It's a beautiful piece of property. I mean, you have a huge circle drive. You have this huge courtyard that you pull into. You have a nice walk all the way out to the beach. It's oceanfront property that's worth over $12 million. And it's right there. It's considered one of the world's best homes. It's a 28-acre compound, coastal decor, detached barn. And as if being right there on the edge of the sea wasn't enough, you also have a huge swimming pool. It's a 7,000-plus square foot house. It's on 30 secluded acres. And you also have, you're right there between two coves, and you have a pond. It's beautiful. I mean, it was built in 2001. A well-known local contractor built it, and they love this property. They're there all the time in the summer. It's the Juan showing you right there. That's part of, that's their pool. That's just part of the house. It's a huge estate. I mean, is that too much? Is that? I'm curious. Is that what you would consider more than you need? Is that more than one needs? I'm really curious about this. I mean, she's. Millions of dollars. They left the office worth millions of dollars. Went in not worth as much. I mean, I'm just curious. You have Jack Schlossberg, one of the most ridiculous, egregious Nepo babies of all time. Caroline Kennedy's kid. He's going to inherit over $100 million. You have J.B. Pritzker. His family worth is about $4 billion. I mean, the second, Doug Imhoff, he's worth about $10 million. The Obamas over $70 million. So how much is more than you need? I love these people that hoard their wealth and then lecture everyone else if they dare reach beyond the status to which they're expected to stay. No, that's more than you need. As though it is a moral failing to want to do well for oneself and one's family. This is what they do. This is one of the reasons why they run this identity politics. They want to make everything that they dislike a moral failing so that they can, the moral, actual moral failings, they elevate. But non-real moral failings, they turn into moral failings so that they can emotionally blackmail you and can control you. And that's what this is. So I'm just curious, is this more than one needs? I don't have, last I checked in my very humble property portfolio, which consists of and property, I don't have a beautiful estate in Martha's Vineyard.
No, nope. It's kind of absurd.
Yeah.
It's kind of absurd.
Is that inequity?
Sounds like it.
Feels like it. Based I would on, love to be equitable with the Obamas.
Based on what we were hearing last night.
Yeah, because that means we get three houses and like luxury vacations and yeah. All kind of chefs. You know, mine won't drown, but you know.
Those are the people telling us.
Yeah, I'm just saying. So I don't know. And it's not just her, Oprah Winfrey. Now, this is what really gets me. Oprah Winfrey was talking about this, too. Audio soundbite 7. Let's play this.
From the redwood forests, love those redwoods, to the Gulf Stream waters, I've seen racism and sexism and income inequality and division. I've not only seen it, at times, I've been on the receiving end of it.
Well, and yet she was still able in this amazing capitalist free society to make herself a billionaire and have all kinds of businesses, properties, you know, fame, everything she could ask for, influence, power. She can be a kingmaker. But is she, instead of focusing on the blessings that freedom allowed her to achieve, she wants to use those things as a way to hold other people down. And that is the big irony of it all. I mean, imagine someone like Oprah Winfrey, who also has a beautiful Hawaii estate, lecturing other people on income inequality. I mean, I would also like to be equal or equitable with Oprah Winfrey. That would be great. But there is no country on earth and some countries are infinitely worse, that does not have its own issues to some degree. But what makes the United States so different is that we have freedom and we have the ability for one to make their free will decisions and choose to achieve things for themselves. The problem is that we have this Karl Marx laziness amongst some people that think any kind of effort is tantamount to torture and they should be given it because someone else's hard work is not the same thing. They don't want to have to aspire to that. So they call it equity and demand what other people have worked for. And the irony of someone, and the left totally missed this, by the way, because I made mention of this on social media, kind of like a Rorschach test. And I was doing this in combination with the discussion about J.D. Vance, right? And I said it was kind of weird for Oprah with her Hawaiian state, her multiple homes, her expensive wardrobes, her frequent luxury vacations to talk about income inequality. And someone saying, someone responded, well, how dare people come from nothing and who've experienced this along the way tell Americans the story as to where they are, especially if they're people of color. Yes, thank you for completely proving my point. The left, which has literally spent 3 days denigrating the American dream, wants to invoke it only to defend the sheer irony. These people have zero moorings. None. That's it. So it's okay if there are people, if Marxists somehow succeed, but anyone else, it's disallowed, because then you are committing the moral failing of ambition. You are taking more than you need. Well, who gets to determine how much someone needs? I think that what determines how much you need is how much work you're willing to put in, the choices that you're willing to make. That's it. No one's holding you down. I reject that. That's such, you know what? That's a lie that Marxists tell you to hold you in place. And the people who perpetuate it are evil. It is one of the most evil things told people in this country. That no. Mm-mm. You know, you have to stay in the status to which you're born. That if you try to exceed too much, then that's you going for more than you deserve. It's emotional blackmail. But there was a lot of this. A lot of this. Then you had this from Oprah, audio soundbite 8. This was wild. Listen to this.
We are not so different from our neighbors. When a house is on fire, we don't ask about the homeowner's race or religion. We don't wonder
talking about Maui?
Who their partner is or how they voted. No. We just try to do the best we can to save them. And if the place happens to belong to a childless cat lady,
oh boy, that was weird how it turned to that lawn chair right then. So she's hanging out at J.D. Vance. And she got a lot of criticism. Speaking of wildfire, she got a lot of criticism. Because they said that she was taking focus away from the people impacted. And there was a lot of criticism about, because she was asking people for money for the victims of the Maui wildfires and all of this. And she got a lot of criticism for it. But here's what I find, you know, absolutely fascinating about her remark here. Because, again, she's saying this about J.D. Vance. This was, you know, she said, well, you know, they, I guess when she says they are, I suppose she's talking about Democrats, but she's saying that, well, they don't ask about the homeowner's life if their house is burning down. But interestingly enough, they did ask about vaccinations, and they did threaten to deny care for people who opted not to get shots or who had natural immunity. That's what's so interesting about this. You actually did do that. You did threaten to withhold care in hospitals to people who didn't bend the knee and get the shot, even if they already had the virus and thus developed natural immunity, which for the first time in, you know, history, apparently natural immunity didn't work. Crazy. Crazy. So, I don't know. I thought that was fascinating. By the way, she also, add another by the way in there, she was one of the first people that tell Trump to go and run for office. She was one of the first people. In fact, there was a letter, and Trump's campaign posted it. There was a letter that Kane found where she was encouraging him, you know, too bad we're not running for office, what a team. She did an interview with him too. At one point, this was like back in the 90s when she had encouraged him to run for office. So it's all their fault. There you go. They're mad. They can be mad. But do you see what I'm saying? It's this shaming of ambition, shaming of motivation. It's the shaming of the spirit that created the American dream. If you have it, it's considered a moral failing. Like, how dare you want more than what you were allocated upon birth? It's the weirdest thing. Democrats think that you have to stay in the economic status to which you're born, but if you want to change your sex, then you can do that.
Yeah, that's weird.
Isn't that weird? So weird. It's an interesting approach. But I think it's one, I think more people now, I will say, I feel like more people now listen to that kind of stuff on the left than they did so before. Don't you think so, Kane? That more people, I think, are, I'm trying to find, sympathetic, maybe. Yeah. That's not the right word to use, but maybe more receptive to these Marxist tenets than before, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Because they used to not be this far Marxist on the, at the DNC.
It's that slow creep. Like, we had talked about this over a decade ago on the show, how this is the slow creep. That's how it's working.
Also just a creep. It's a regular creepy creep. Yeah. We have a lot more on the way. The waltz, we have the waltz stuff. And I have a question for you. Is this Brett? Wait, no, you're not going to answer that until we come back. Is it Brett? We're going to ask this question. It is a thing that Democrats put out, Democrat ladies put out. So we just, you know, feel the need to ask. Hey, dudes, listen up. I have a gift idea that could truly impress the lady in your life and transform your home into a much needed sanctuary, all with the luxurious comfort of Cozy Earth. It's called Cozy Earth. She'll be impressed. And Cozy Earth uses only the finest fabrics and textiles, making their products super soft and comfortable. So, for example, you could give the gift of comfort and support with Cozy Earth's durable weave bedsheet fabric that keeps your bedsheet smooth and luxurious for years. And you can say goodbye to pilling also. With a 10-year guarantee, these sheets are super comfortable. It's a long-lasting investment. And ladies, you don't have to wait for somebody to get this for you. You can create your own comfort and sanctuary with Cozy Earth best-selling bamboo sheet set made from 100% premium viscose. It's very luxurious. So we just got our sheets. That's their California king size. And they had our color, which was Harbor Mist. That's the one I picked out. So I love the selection. I love how easy it is to navigate their website and find what you want. So if you want to make every bedroom a sanctuary, do it with Cozy Earth. Breathable, ultra soft, and even softer with every wash. Try them risk-free today for 100 nights and love them or get a full refund. And that's one of the best money-back guarantees in the business. So your bed's calling, and answer with the ultimate in comfort and get up to 40% off only at CozyEarth.com/Dana using code Dana. And don't forget, tell them I sent you in the post-purchase survey and you can get some free socks. That's CozyEarth.com/Dana and use code Dana to get up to 40% off.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
So this is a weird flex that Big Gretch put out. And there's some, it's like a song. I don't even know what song it is. But it's a bunch of women, keep playing it. It's a bunch of women, Democrat women at the DNC, who are awkwardly posing together like they're doing a band photo. And it says, gang's all here to protect LGBT, reproductive rights, healthcare, blah, 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 family, blah, blah. And Gretchen Whitmer tweeted it out and said, quote, finally made it out of the group chat. And my response was, this is the weirdest boxed wine ad ever. The weirdest ad ever. And isn't the chick in the middle? I am pretty sure that that's Michelle Grisham, who is the New Mexico's anti-gun governor. This is so awkward. And the chick in the maroon suit. Oh my gosh. Like, why are you? And the blue lady, why? This is so, is this Brat? I'm told this is Brat. But Michelle Grisham, the New Mexico governor, and I think she's the lady in the middle there. She had to settle a sexual harassment claim for $150,000. Yeah. Yeah. He, She was accused by James Hallinan, a former campaign staffer, of dropping water on his crotch and then grabbing his crotch in the midst of a campaign meeting prior to the election. So they paid him six figures to shut him up. Oh, I'm sorry, to settle. Legal eagles out there.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, so that's it.
Wait, that sounds like hush money.
She was also criticized for her handling of the pandemic and, you know, obviously her gun control stuff. But Big Gretchen's in it, some other people, Kathy Hochul. I don't know. It's just so awkward. The lady in the maroon suit, her fashion sense is killing my soul. And then the lady in the blue looks like she just put a suit jacket on in the middle of PE and just ducked out of like freshman girls PE to go and pose for this picture. It's so bad. And I don't know why they have Michelle Grisham in the middle like she's the princess. It's a weird, that's a weird flex, right? I was, again, watching this and they kept touching on abortion, everything else. I wish they would actually talk about things that that impact women. Because the abortion comment, they would go up there and they would say things that just the dumbest stuff. I'm going to give you some examples coming up next hour. But they kept acting like no one is helping them with their reproduction or whatever. And all because they're told it's all already protected state by state in the case of rape. I hate saying that. Oh my gosh, I'm so tired of saying this stuff. Rape or incest. Fine, la, la, it's all that's already a statute in every state. The issue is up till the moment of birth, taxpayer funded, which is what they tried to do through the Senate with the Women's Protection Act, which is a weird title for something that was just basically like taxpayers fund our abortion as birth control up until the moment of birth because we need 9 months to figure it out. I don't know that they kept talking about that. Like women are being denied because it's not free, or women are being denied if they can't go and get an abortion when they're 9 months pregnant, or women are being denied if they use it as a form of birth control, which is what it's used for, according to Planned Parenthood's own stats. I just wish that they could talk about something other than what they're like sexual organs. It'd be great. You know, I thought we as women, you know, kind of progressed past that. But then I watched the DNC and I'm like, maybe some of us didn't. We got a lot more on the way. I've got examples. Stick with the second hour next. I agree with Annie Oakley, who said, quote, "I would like to see every woman know how to handle guns as naturally as they know how to handle babies." Now, I myself regularly conceal carry a 9mm. Now, that said, not every woman is like me, has had the hours of training that I've had, or feels comfortable around firearms due to years of use, or maybe they're by a gun-free zone. I'd like to change that what I can while encouraging self-defense at the same time. So this is where Byrna comes in. It's kind of like a starter weapon. They make a non-firearm firearm. I like the idea of incredible force sending chemical irritants towards a threat as an additional option for women. And the Byrna SD model shoots chemical irritant projectiles, 68 caliber rounds that can deter threats in their tracks up to 50 feet away. I mean, it is hard. Easy target acquisition, zero recoil. Byrna is legal in all 50 states. There's no background checks, no permits required. It's shipped directly to your door. Gun-free isn't applicable to Byrna. It's great for wherever guns are banned. Visit Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off. That's BYRNA.com/Dana.
When Donald Trump comes down to Texas, stands next to officers in uniforms just like mine, he's not there to help us. Don't think that. Not for a second.
And his voice
he is a self-serving man. I mean, look, just like when he killed the border bill, he just made our jobs harder.
What?
Now, Kamala, on the other hand, has been fighting border crime for years.
Gosh, I do not.
She's gone down to Mexico.
This dude. So this dude, if you didn't hear, this is Chef Javier Salazar. He holds pride events and has drag entertainment and all that stuff. And he's got a suspiciously high-pitched voice. And, yeah, he's a big-time Democrat. He's, you know, very much. He also was blasting Kamala Harris, like, literally just not even a year ago. Actually, 1 year ago.
What? Oh my God.
18. Audio soundbite 18. Listen to this. Same guy.
Sheriff Javier Salazar. Sheriff, it's a pleasure to see you, sir. Tell us about what you are asking for. What are your needs?
Well, right now, thank you for having me, first off. Right now, what I'm asking for is for the president or a member of his administration that can make decisions to come down and talk to not just me, but at least 12 other Texas sheriffs from major counties in the state of Texas that are dealing with this issue firsthand. So I'd like to see somebody from Washington come down here, get boots on the ground, get eyes on the issue at hand, and then talk to us, a bipartisan.
So he's complaining that nobody's helping him at the border. That's so weird. So which is it? No, they dangled out, hey, Sheriff Salazar, we need to use someone with a badge to come up and speak about the border and bash Republicans. Can you come do it? Yeah, I'll do it. This is why, by the way, I don't back the blue uniformly. It's situational. No problem saying that either. It is situational because get mad at me all you want to. I don't care. I don't care. I feel like Ricky Gervais at the Golden Globes. I was up late watching the DNC trash. I don't even care today. Dana Lash with you. Welcome back to the program. Top of the second hour. It's exactly what I'm talking. I sat on stage with a bad cop at Parkland. I know they exist. I know there's good ones out there too, but I don't have to pay that indulgence. You know, every time I want to like criticize a clearly bad cop, you know what I'm saying? So this guy was like begging for help at the border a year ago. Now he's like, no, I love Kamala Harris. I love her so much. Now it's a totally different tune because someone offered him a speaking gig at the DNC. Interesting that. Maybe he can go and hold another drag event. You know, maybe because that's this just, oh, sorry, 2 years ago, but still same thing. Yeah, come down here, get boots on the ground, get eyes on the issue at hand. And then 2 years later, I mean, she's amazing. She's literally down here fighting at the border, like herself physically, repelling illegal entrants. Trying to cross the Rio. I can't. So the other couple issues, I've been watching the DNC, and I have to, you guys are my therapy today. I have to vent about it because I watched it last night, moved a kid into college and then came and watched the stuff. So maybe hoping to get some sort of insight into what policies they're promoting. Like, even if, Let's just say if, you know, Kamala Harris is elected, do we even have an idea as to what her policies are going to be? Because all I get out of everything is that money's bad in vagina. That's it. It's all I get out of it. Right, Kane? That's going to help you a lot pay your bills, right?
It seems to be the
message. Do you feel the stress coming off your shoulders from that?
This whole week, the messaging's been pretty
I'm not joking. Audio soundbite 20. This is a DNC video. Well, I forget which one this was because we have literally 11 million cuts of this stuff. Poor Juan is like, I feel like we got to wash his brain now.
This one's on abortion, I think.
Yeah, I know it's on abortion, but was it like one of the pre-prepared or was it one of those broads up there? I can't even remember anymore. This is what I'm talking about, 20.
Incredible moment in history. We've seen women stripped of their most fundamental right to autonomy over their bodies.
Okay, stop. Full stop. Who is stripping women of our full right to autonomy? What is that? That's a phrase, right to autonomy. It's kind of redundant, isn't it? Like, you don't even need to say right to autonomy. You would just say autonomy. You don't need to have this, like, complete, ridiculous word salad. But who's doing that? Who's making you have sex and get pregnant? Who? I want to know. Who is making you have sex and get pregnant? Because the only time that I have ever seen the government strip anything from anybody was during lockdown. That is the only time I have ever seen anyone stripped of dignity, of autonomy, of other rights. They act like, what do you mean? What decision over your body? Let's start there, because that means that sounds like rape. So you're saying the government is raping people. That's at the very basic, just crux of it is what you're saying. Where's that at? Where's that news story? I don't see it. Where's MSNBC? I would imagine that if the government is getting women raped and getting them pregnant, then that would be a major news story, Kane, right? Yeah. So where is it? Oh, wait a minute. It's women who are choosing to engage in an activity that can result in pregnancy. And that's according to Planned Parenthood's own publicly available statistics. Can we stop this stupid? It's the same stuff over and over again. All these chicks need to get a new line. It's amazing. This is what I'm talking about. This is all it is. Anytime a woman comes up, it's just this. They save the other issues for the men. By the way, speaking of videos, Waltz's Audio Soundbite 16, his introductory video, once again, incorrectly identified him as a command sergeant major in the National Guard. Watch.
After his 17th birthday and served 24 years in the National Guard, rising to command sergeant major.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Yeah, that's not right, but, you know. And then people are like, can you believe that he is being criticized? He's being criticized. No one's attacking his service. They're attacking him for lying about it. This is the other thing that really bothers me that I think is not getting enough attention. He lies about the goofiest things. So, again, last night they were talking about abortion, and they were also misrepresenting the women who, which we're going to talk about coming up, the women who had received abortions. But they keep saying that he and his wife had IVF, that they underwent IVF, even though his wife came out and said, no, that wasn't what we did. We didn't go through IVF. They went through a different process that was not at all IVF. But the reason they keep touching on IVF is because they're trying to make it something that they're trying to act like Republicans are against it. Trump has literally come out and said he's not against it, that it would not be anything that he would oppose in his administration, regardless where you stand on it as a Republican or as a conservative. He's already said that. So why are they, I don't get, why are they trying to claim that they're creating, that's an actual straw man. They're creating something to fight against. It's never, not a position that the right holds. Or like this, who's this chick? What's she? The AG, I'm scrolling through our $1 million audio or our million counts of audio. She's, oh my gosh, audio soundbite 11. So I tweeted this out. I said, no one, absolutely no one. And then Michigan AG Dana Nessel, listen.
By the way, I got a message for the Republicans and the justices of the United States Supreme Court. You can pry this wedding band from my cold, dead, gay hand.
So my first thought was, no one cares. Literally no one cares. My second thought was, gay hand? That's so cringe. That probably sounded better in her head. Gay hand? I mean, I've heard of Nick Cave's red right hand, but I've never heard of the gay left hand. I've never heard of that.
My dead gay hand.
My dead gay. I love my dead gay son. I love my gay hand. I'll take it off my dead gay hand. What?
I love my dead gay son.
Are gay hands different from regular hands? She got like an extra finger on it or something? I don't know. I don't know what's wrong with it. What makes it different?
Every finger's a different color.
You're just stop trying to be specialer than everyone else. Stop it. No one cares. No one said anything. She gets up there and she says she does that. Oh my gosh. That's embarrassing. That is embarrassing. Like, no one was talking about, literally nobody was talking about this. And then she gets up there, you know, pried off my dead gay hand. Okay, Heathers. All right. It's like Kurt's sister, Kurt's dad, Kurt's sister from Heathers. It's a deep dive. It's a deep cut. Golly. This is what I'm talking about. It's all like they keep trying to create things to argue against. No one's talking. No one. That's the, I'm not arguing about IVF because the Trump team already came out and said that's not anything that they're opposing. So that's not even going to be a part of the administration. So why are they doing that? I don't get it. Why are they mad? And then they get mad at Republicans because Democrats foobarred Roe v. Wade. That wasn't anything Republicans did. And Democrats are trying to target Republicans so their own base doesn't get mad about how poorly they handle that. If Democrats were really concerned about what they call, quote unquote, women's reproductive rights, why did they not do anything state by state for decades? They focused everything federally. Even Ruth Bader Ginsburg, before she passed, was warning them all. This is a horribly determined case and it's going to be contradicted and it's going to be undone. You need to do something about it state by state. And I mean, that's what she was saying. They never did anything. And then the inevitable took place and they got mad at Republicans because they didn't do anything. Again, you're making up stuff to argue about that you did to yourself or that no one is arguing. But this is them. But do you want to hear what the most uncomfortable point was so far? I missed this because I was off air, but can I play audio soundbite 9, please? Ashley Biden just showers her dad with praise.
Joe Biden is the OG girl dad.
No one else had daughters before him.
He told me I could be anything and I could do anything. As a child, I would sit on the leather chair in his office doing my homework, and he would sit next to me doing his work, drafting the Violence Against Women Act.
And then we had a shower. Look, she wrote that in her diary that she claimed was hers and took ownership of, and then the FBI took possession of, and then they tried to sue people over it. So don't sit here and tell me that it's not real, because she wrote that in her own hand in her diary and she claimed that it was hers. So moving on. That was weird, right? It was weird. My dad told me I could do whatever drug I wanted. Remember, by the way, the reason that that diary came into someone else's possession is because she literally left it in a flop house, a drug flop house, in the mattress. Yes. I actually know whose house it is. I don't know the person, but I know someone who does. It was she was using it as a flop house. It was like an ex-lover and left it in the mattress. And apparently another female found it. That's what happened. That's how that diary came out. So weird, right? Awkward. Super awkward. Tonight's going to be even more awkward. Oh my gosh. It's going to be because Kamala Harris is going to be speaking. Or wait a minute. What did Clinton call her? Hold up. We have that. Audio like soundbite 11 million billion. It's my fault too. We have, oh gosh, where is it? Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. Just real quick. It's like 5 seconds. You guys need to hear this because where's the outrage? Go ahead.
Ask for their help and then follow our leader, Kamala.
Oh wait, I heard that's wrong. He said Camel.
That's racist.
Yeah, it's like a bunch of isists, right? If you don't say her name right. Camel, Oh, man, I made remarks. Okay, let's move. Hillsdale is a great institution. It's like one of the remaining, I guess, educational institutions that's out there. And a lot of people, you know, it's like going back to school. A lot of people are going back, I think, this week. You know, I have my oldest that goes back to school this week. And it's really awesome that they make so many resources available for you. If you're not going back to school, you can still take advantage of all the resources that Hillsdale has that are for free to you. And you can do that at dana4hillsdale.com. So they have all of these educational podcasts on their website, right? They do deep dives into history. They have their lectures. They have, deep dives into some of the most fascinating aspects of our Republic's founding. And you can access all of that on the Hillsdale College Podcast Network at dana4hillsdale.com. And this is just one of the many ways that they're defending liberty on the battlefield of education. You also get special content from Hillsdale's president, Larry Arn, up there as well. But I mean, they've got everything, like the Classical Education podcast. They have their history, Radio Free Hillsdale, all of that. And it's just a great way to stay up to date and also know everything about the founding of our republic. It's a small Christian classical liberal arts college in Southern Michigan, founded in 1844 to do just this. To preserve liberty through education. Choose your new favorite educational podcast today on the Hillsdale College Podcast Network at dana4hillsdale.com. That's F-O-R, dana4hillsdale.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
This headline brings me so much joy. I think my heart started beating again. Because I've never so related to a headline more in my entire life. You know your girl's a cynic, right? Okay. I wake up cynical. So this study, the headline is, the average person knows if their day has been ruined by 8:36 a.m. Like, that's right. You know it.
Which time zone?
Oh, that's a great question. I think just their time zone. It says one bad morning can derail everything. They did this survey. And it shows that Americans know if they're in for a bad day by 8:36 a.m. And they surveyed 2,000 Americans and they found the average person endures 4 bad days a month. So that's 48 days or a month and a half of bad days annually. And then over 26% of respondents said that when something goes awry in the morning, the day seems totally lost. Like if they wake up feeling sick or if they didn't sleep well, if they lost their keys or if they wake up with a headache, or for women, if they messed up their makeup or their hair's bad. I mean, they just know it. You know, it's not going to be their day. I thought that was hysterical. Parents are baffled by high school principal Robert Nunez giving a mascot lap dance as the, oh boy, this is over in the Sun. parents are. This is in Atwater, California. Buhawk Colony High School in Central Valley. They held a back-to-school pep rally. And apparently, parents are furious because their principal gave and received a lap dance from the school mascot. And there were actual students there going, am I a square that's getting old, or was this weird? Like, students were, they were actually, like, putting that out on TikTok. And so the parents are very upset. They're like, why is this happening? Like, apparently, like, the mascot was twerking on him and all this stuff. That, like, you're at a high school. You know what I mean? If you can't differentiate, you know, the club from the high school, then maybe you shouldn't be in education. So coming up, Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton, does he know where all those missing kids went that Harris was in charge of, his borders are? We'll ask. Stick with us. The best coffee that's out there. Everything else is just absolute swill. It's just garbage. I can't stand drinking other people's coffee because their beans are bitter. It's just not good. Black Rifle Coffee gets the best damn beans from all around the world. They bring them to their facilities in Utah and Tennessee, where they roast them 5 days a week. It's veteran-owned, veteran-run, and they support veterans and first responders as well. I got to tell you, Big Coffee hates them, like the Starbucks and all the other garbage coffee places out there. They can't stand Black Rifle Coffee because they found a way to get into American culture and mainstream, you know, support for military and 2A rights and first responders and all of that. And they just can't stand it. And so one of the, I've seen, they try to attack Black Rifle Coffee so that, you know, every time you buy Black Rifle Coffee, you're help fighting back against that too. Save 20% with code Dana and you can join the coffee club. Choose your roast, frequency of shipment, have it sent to your doorstep, free shipping. So you never run out of coffee. You never have to worry about it. They got ground whole bean K-cups ready to drink, apparels, kettles, grinders, mugs, and more. See it all for yourself at Black Rifle coffee.com. Order today and get 20% off with code Dana. 20% off with code Dana, only at blackriflecoffee.com.
The Dana Show Podcast, your fast, funny, and informative news companion for those always on the move. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Javier Salazar, Sheriff, it's a pleasure to see you, sir. Tell us about what you are asking for. What are your needs?
Well, right now, thank you for having me, first off. Right now, what I'm asking for is for the president or a member of his administration that can make decisions to come down and talk to not just me, but at least 12 other Texas sheriffs from major counties in the state of Texas that are dealing with this issue firsthand. So I'd like to see somebody from Washington come down here, get boots on the ground.
This is flashback audio from 2 years ago. Bexar County Sheriff Javier Salazar, who was criticizing the administration for being MIA. Now, interestingly enough, same sheriff, I guess they lured him to their side by promising him a speaking slot at the DNC. And he goes out and says, oh, Trump made our job harder. Republicans made it harder. They killed that bipartisan border bill. You know what was absent from any discussion last night at the DNC? Really, largely, the border, including this insane headline that is, it's actually an extension of what the New York Times reported on a year ago, how the Biden-Harris administration lost track of over 320,000 kids brought illegally over the border. Nobody knows where they're at. This is, while this is the exact kind of stuff that Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton has been hitting at and pointing out. We've got two big issues to talk with him about today. He joins us now via Skype. General, always a pleasure to have you. I got to get your reaction. First off, to this story, the fact that this wasn't nobody. I mean, they say that they claim to care about the lives of people crossing the border illegally, but yet there is no concern for the hundreds of thousands of kids brought illegally over the border who have just gone missing. The New York Times reported about this a year ago. Now New York Post has it.
Yeah, and they've known about this for the entire time the administration has been dealing with this the last 4 years. And I think they anticipated it. It's just the cost of doing business. They wanted to get people here for their purposes, which is voting. And they were willing to sacrifice these children because there's no way that they had the capacity to keep track of these kids. And they knew it when they started.
Yeah, no, that's it. They knew that. And the number is increased. So when the New York Times was writing about it, it was like 290 something thousand. Now it's over 320,000 kids that have gone missing. And they're just there. I mean, the only assumption that can be made is either child labor or trafficking. And the New York Times said that they, a year ago, that they could see that there were some hotspots that these kids were going to. But interestingly, nobody in the Biden-Harris administration was concerned about any of this. In fact, they wanted it. They wanted them processed faster and released quicker.
Yeah. This, remember, the purpose is not to protect these children. If they cared about that, they would have done this whole process slower. They would have made sure people weren't crossing under dangerous conditions and traversing all these countries under dangerous conditions. They would have made sure the cartels were not involved in this. Cartels were 100% involved in all of it. So there was nothing safe about the way they did it. All they cared about was speed and numbers, because their purposes were not protecting these people or taking care of these people. This is about votes. That's it.
And I've heard to that point, we're talking with Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton, that there have been Democrat outfits that have been stationed outside of like some of these processing offices, et cetera, to register people who are not in the country legally, to register to them to vote. What do you know about this?
Yeah, so we just started our investigation. We actually went out and said, I sent out my investigative team undercover, start looking at that. We're still involved. And we went on to state property. We went on to state police property where they were issuing driver's licenses and where you typically register people to vote at the DMV office. Typically, you get your driver's license, you can register to vote right there. And yet, despite the fact that this was on state property and they were registering people to vote at state offices, for some reason, there were separate nonprofits stationed that we discovered that were registering people. Now, why would you have a separate location when supposedly you could register at the DMV while you're getting your license? The answer seems pretty common sense. Those are people who couldn't get registered legally. And so my guess is they went out, these nonprofits are out registering people who didn't get, they're registered in Texas at the DMV.
So we are like people who are, not here legally are registering to vote in Texas elections.
That is my suspicion. Now, we've just started this investigation, so we're at the beginning stages. But these people were allowed onto state property, state police control property, controlled by our state.
Right.
And they were allowed to sit up, and we just assumed they were registering, correct people. But that doesn't make any sense if you just think a little bit deep, not even slight, just a little bit. Why do we need a separate location when that's the job of the DMV, is to register people that are getting their driver's license?
And why are they being allowed any kind of third-party entity outside of these DMV offices even?
Well, it all got cut off, yesterday or today. State police issued a bulletin saying all of this is going to end immediately. But, part of it is that we got that out. I wanted to get it out to stop it. I also wanted to get it out to let people know who are registering illegally that they can be prosecuted. So you may want to try to do this, but you could go to jail for this. And the people that are organizing it, the punishment is actually longer if you're actually coordinating a bunch of illegal votes. So we wanted to make people aware of it, get it out there, but we're still investigating what actually happened. It's shocking, but I'm not surprised given that I think the whole plan from day one, remember Joe Biden, day one, his number one priority, no more deportations. Why would you announce that on day one?
Yeah.
Why does that become the most important thing to tell the cartels on day one? You're not going to deport anybody. The idea, I think, was to send them this message to the cartels. Get people here. We'll take care of them. We'll put them where we want them. And now we're seeing the fruition of their goal, which is to get people registered to vote.
Wow. Do we have an idea as to how many have been registered? I'm sure that's something you're going to find out with this investigation.
I don't think we'll ever know, because we're having to dig this up. This has been a plan that they put together before Biden got into office, I think. And this, unfortunately, I think this is going on all over the country, especially in states like Florida and Georgia and Wisconsin, the swing states. They moved these illegals in. That's why they wanted them. And then they transported them to where they wanted them. They took care of them, made sure they could stay in contact with them. And now they've got them registered to vote, a lot of them. And they've done it using issuing Social Security numbers. So then they go into these states and get their driver's license, and only three states require proof of citizenship to get the ability to vote. So most states are not prepared for having to require some type of proof of citizenship. So obviously the federal government they're not just cooperating. They created this plan knowing that the states were not prepared to stop it. So we're in a little, we're playing behind the eight ball right now. And I'm trying to get the message out so that other states will look at this and try to at least educate these illegals about prosecution if they're going to vote illegally.
Yeah, and Kane makes a good point. So they can follow up with them for their vote, but not a court date too, when all of this is, when they're coming in and being processed.
Exactly.
Unbelievable. You would think that, at the audio that we played coming in, Bexar County Sheriff Javier Salazar, you'd think that this would be something he would be interested in, except instead of being at the DNC and bashing Republicans for trying to restore law and order at the border.
No, this is what they wanted. This was the plan from the beginning. Maybe he's an exception, but the reality is, I believe that they planned this before Biden came in because that's why they were ready to go on day one. Mm-hmm. They wanted to maximize the number of people that the cartels, because this was a partnership between the cartels and the Biden administration. You get these people here. They're not like hiding from Border Patrol. It's a handoff, right? It's a handoff so that the Border Patrol can get them into the right places, to the right states, so that they are in a position to vote.
Wow. We're talking with Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton. I want to switch gears here and ask you about this suit that you filed on behalf of Texans, because the State Fair of Texas has banned firearms. Now, I have to point out that it's by, you know, two of statistically, you know, higher crime areas, and that's where the fair is held at. And I don't think that they have enough security per person that's there at the fairgrounds in order to keep everyone safe. So as someone who values the safety of myself and my family, I was very concerned that they've decided to ban everyone else from being able to defend themselves, heaven forbid.
Look, first of all, we haven't filed a lawsuit. We gave them a 15-day notice.
Okay.
They're close to the end of that. If they do not stop this policy, this rule that they put in place, by that 15th day, we will sue them, because they are not allowed under state law to ban concealed carry on government property. And even though this is a private organization, they are renting, leasing this space from a city government, Dallas, to hold their fair. That's illegal. You cannot ban concealed carry. Now, if you're a private organization, you have private property, you're whether it's nonprofit or profit,
it's a private property issue.
That's your decision. But government under Texas law, very clear that they cannot stop concealed carry. That's Texas law.
That's wild that they even tried doing this then, knowing that that's the law.
Look, this is what they do. They ignore laws and they make us sue them. This is the Obama model. This is what he created. And now we fight everything because they have no respect for the Constitution or the law.
And it costs taxpayers.
Yeah. And they know that we can't fight them on everything. So they just change everything. They don't respect the Constitution, don't care about the Constitution, don't care about the laws. They do what they want to do, and then they make us go fight them. And we will. We have resources to do it, we'll fight them.
Are they going to back down on this, you think, General?
I have no idea, but it doesn't. I mean, I would prefer we don't have to go to litigation, but, you know, so be it. If they want to go to court, we'll sue them, and we'll find out whether Texas law matters. My guess is that it does.
This is just wild, wild to me. We got one more question for you, talking to Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton, who's juggling, I think, every issue that you can juggle. You got immigration, you got Second Amendment, now we got the GM data collection as well, because Texas is now taking on GM. You've been talking about this, taking data from people and not telling consumers that they're taking data from you. I mean, privacy is a luxury anymore in today's age. Tell us what you're doing to fight this.
Yeah, so we think this is a deceptive trade practice to take people's information about how they're driving, and they're recording everything, whether you're wearing your seatbelt, how far you're driving, how fast you're driving, whether you're taking hard right turns, you're hitting the brakes too hard, and that information is for sale to whoever they want to sell it to. And of course, they're selling it to insurance companies, which then affects whether you're covered or how much you have to pay. And the consumer is not aware, they don't give consent, the disclosure is not clear. And so we think that's a violation of Texas law, and we're going to try to stop it, and we're going to hold them accountable for it. And we believe there are other car manufacturers doing this.
Golly, you can't trust anything anymore. Oh, my word. Now I feel like I'm good to be paranoid. There's a reason why I am normally. Attorney General Ken Paxton of the Republic of Texas. Good to see you, sir. Thank you for fighting on behalf of Texans. We appreciate
it. Absolutely. Have a great day.
You too. We have more to come, folks, as we wrap up this second hour. We got to roll into some Florida Man as well. And as we do so.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
All right, so lost on myself. All right, here we go. Boy, oh boy. So there's a million. I want to start with the. I don't want to do that one. I don't want to do the screwdriver one.
Oh, see, I was like, good luck.
Kane.
Good luck with that one.
Okay. How do we do this? Because it's an. Let's skip this one. There is no way that I can share with you a story about a guy. It's a Florida man who. I don't know how to put it. Imbibed a screwdriver through a place that's not his mouth.
I would say he loves tools.
Yeah, let's not do that one. There's no way I can talk about that one. But I can talk about a Florida man who was arrested for alleged upskirt photos of women at a Florida grocery store. Oh my gosh. This guy, 45-year-old man, was arrested by detectives on suspicion of taking upskirt photos of multiple women at a Florida grocery store. It occurred in June of this year. Deputies were called after reports of this very suspicious individual. He was like sticking his phone, trying to get pictures under their skirts. And he would place his cell phone in a shopping cart and then like get it close to, I guess, like on the bottom part of the shopping cart. He's being held on $60,000 bond. I got to tell you, if I would catch somebody doing that, I think I'd beat them to death in the store. Right. I mean, so there must be some restraint on behalf of the ladies who saw it and did not do that. So just saying, that's now this guy, boy, oh boy, he's a guy who kind of looks like Post Malone, but not like if Post Malone were a total bad guy and totally. Well, this guy, he looks like he's crawled out from under a rock. Dylan Fogel. So Dylan Fogel got really upset because he was kicked out of a strip club due to inappropriate behavior. Now I'm trying to figure out how you get kicked out of a strip club for inappropriate behavior. Like, what are you doing? Like, grabbing people? Like, what are you doing? So this happened about 4:20 in the morning. It took place just a few days ago. They were responding to the parking lot of the Emperor's Gentleman Club. So taking it up, not just the Gentleman Club, but the Emperor's Gentleman Club, where a truck had crashed, according to Tampa police. Now, eyewitnesses said that 25-year-old Dylan Fogel had been kicked out of the club, but got mad and then drove the truck into people standing at the entrance because he was mad after having been kicked out of the club. And they said he did it. He killed our friend. They were all pointing to him when all law enforcement arrived. They said there were no brake marks, skid marks at the scene, no evasive maneuvers at all. He definitely, according to court records, wanted to hurt someone. He wanted to drive them over. Oh my gosh. So yeah, that's, I mean, he just doubled down on the insanity, that guy. So this one, let's see. My favorite story, I think, of all time is the pizzeria guy. We had that. I put that out in Twitter because no one believed that story. This guy, Local 10, a Florida man bleeding from the head, was arrested at a Miami airport along with his companion. He refused to get off the plane. Miami-Dade. They got arrested at Miami International Airport. They boarded an American Airlines flight. They were going to Vegas. And then they noticed that 27-year-old Eugenio Garnier was bleeding from his head. The woman was Florida woman. This isn't, he's going to Vegas. Bleeding from his forehead and had a bandage around the wound. So they were asked, Miami-Dade said Hernandez Garnier, he was asked to clean up the blood, replace his bandages, but he said he didn't have any clean ones. They asked him to deboard. They were concerned about his medical contamination and the fact, you know, body fluid contamination. And they said if they couldn't fly, no one else could either, he and his companion. So they would not leave. So they, and it's apparently up on TikTok, and the woman was saying that he had just had surgery, and they were told, please, you know, you're going to have to get out or you're going to have to be escorted out. So they had to be escorted out. They were handcuffed. They were placed under arrest, and every other passenger was forced to deboard as well. So the flight was delayed, and they didn't actually say why he was bleeding. They didn't say that, but she was saying, the woman with him was saying that he had surgery. So that whole flight was delayed. I'm sure they were just elated. Third hour next.
When you hear that, do you potentially think that this new numbers could be a liability for this campaign?
No. When I hear that, first of all, I don't believe it because I've never heard Donald Trump say anything truthful.
It is, though, from the Bureau of Labor.
I'm not familiar with that.
Wow. So this is the Commerce Secretary who has no idea what is happening with jobs or these jobs, the job numbers, where you had Biden Harris saying they created all these jobs and then like what, almost a million of them just don't even exist. They just evaporated into the ether. It's not real. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you, top of this third hour. That's Gina Raimondo, who says she doesn't believe the government data from her own government that she works for as Commerce Secretary, that these jobs don't exist. And that's a crazy aspect of this, because this is something, I mean, how would you overcount, right? Let's just say, like, how would you make this mistake? 818,000 jobs have vanished from the jobs report. Kane's eyes are so big. They sit in a really dark corner of the studio because they got the control stuff over there, and I can see his eyes from where I am.
And a good 15% of those
You're like an anime character over there.
were manufacturing jobs, like 115,000 plus that they had to revise downward in manufacturing. So this narrative, the entire time they were in office, that they were bringing jobs back and the whole nine, the only jobs that actually came back were the ones from COVID, and then the ones that were created were government jobs, jobs yep. that take from the yep. tax base and not contribute to it.
Exactly. The biggest number was government jobs. The biggest number. Bureau of Labor Statistics said that jobs growth data for 12 for the 12 months to March, we kind of fibbed. It's 30% under what they had said. Yeah, 30% under. So they had to do a quite a bit of a downward revision there. Hang on, let me pull up my notes. One surrogate was saying, yeah, it just means the market is a little cool.
Okay.
Guys, I'm going to pick up this 4.5 foot wide monitor and throw it. And like, oh my heavens. It's because they lied. They wanted to hide the extent of the damage done by their economic policies. That's the true thing. They didn't want to have that coincide, like this real, actual, like real reality coincide with the DNC, where they're out there talking about what they're going to do for people. And then they have to go, oh, by the way, we cost all these jobs. Almost a million. Fewer jobs than they actually said. So they lied. They padded it. These are jobs that never actually existed. In fact, as Kane and I were just talking, the only ones that they actually, were able to say existed were the government jobs. And when the jobs numbers came out last and we looked at this, that was a significant portion of the jobs that were created. So yeah, I don't expect them to be asked about this, so I don't expect to have any kind of clarity from the people who actually wrote the policy and passed the policy that led to this conclusion. But, they said that Bloomberg News is trying to say, oh, it's still a healthy rate of hiring. That's not what I'm seeing. That's not at all what we're seeing. This downward revision is exactly what everybody has been feeling with their checkbook. It's what we've been seeing for 4 years. It also means they've been lying for 4 years about this, because this is
a tactic that actually is proven well for them, because what ends up happening is they lie. The lie travels around the world twice before mm-hmm. the truth gets its pants on. And then the millions of eyes that saw the lie, only a portion, like thousands of people, see the retraction. And this is how they've been doing it for years and years and years. And something I just put in Slack shows how they did it again.
If you want to assume that they didn't lie and this is innocent, how does someone make a mistake like this? How do you mess up this bad?
It's intentional.
I know. I mean, that's the thing. It's like there's no way you can screw up this badly unless it's on purpose.
Yes.
There's no way. It's weird because it's almost like, people were trying to warn you about this. Your government is lying to you and telling you that the economy is super strong. Everything's great. But we're seeing over 60,000 fewer jobs every single month.
The media plays along.
Yeah.
They're not doing their job.
They've been lying about how many jobs were added to the economy for 4 years now. And then, so do you trust them about, inflation's not bad? We don't. Do you trust them about that? Good night. So they lied to us. It's a lie. Everything's been a lie from the get-go. You know this. And it also is a lie. Let me share with you this media story. This is crazy. We talk about media malpractice. By the way, we're going to have Carol Roth on tomorrow about all that. We talk about media malpractice. And this is one of the worst I think I've seen in recent times. So PBS, you guys know. Let me explain to you for really quickly before I get into the story. PBS, Public Broadcasting Station, is owned by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, or is under, not owned. It's under. It's regulated. It's managed by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, which receives annually $500 million in taxpayer money. And in fact, you might remember back several years ago when Trump wanted to cut money to the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, CPB, I always say it out loud so people don't get it confused with Customs and Border Patrol. So he wanted to cut the funding like to zero for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And the left lost their mind and they said it was an attack on free speech. And even though it's a government funded thing, it's propaganda. Now, here's why I give you that structure. Because, again, remember, they get half a billion. It was something like $455 million that they got. That was the last appropriation. I think that was from 2022. So Judy Woodruff, who is with PBS, which gets its money from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, which gets its money from entirely the government. And they always say, oh, no, generous donors. No, no, a fraction of them give more than what they pay in taxes. So Judy Woodruff was speaking on to a live audience. And this was in Chicago. This was in Chicago on a PBS roundtable. And they had an audience and they were talking about the ceasefire, any kind of potential negotiation for a ceasefire between Hamas and Israel. And Woodruff was saying that she knew that there wasn't going to be one because this is what she said. She said, quote, the reporting is that former President Trump is on the phone with the Prime Minister of Israel, urging him not to cut a deal right now because it's believed that it would help the Harris campaign. End quote. That's what she said verbatim. And then she adds, who knows whether that will come out or not, but I have to think that the Harris campaign would like for President Biden to do what presidents do, which is to work on that one. So, and she used to be on NewsHour, and then she just was slammed for it. So she presents this as an actual headline. I read you the quote. I read you the quote. She says, you know, the reporting is that he's telling Netanyahu to not cut this deal because it would benefit the Harris campaign. So then she gets a lot of flack for this, right? Because people are like, where are you getting this from? What do you mean, what reports? So she tries to come back on it. And she writes on X. She says, quote, I want to clarify my remarks on the PBS News special Monday night about the ongoing ceasefire talks in the Middle East. She says, as I said, like this is some sort of excuse for her. Now, remember how I told you how she said the statement based on reporting. She goes, as I said, this is not based on my original reporting. I was talking about, she said, the reports in Axios and Reuters about Trump having spoken to the Israeli prime minister. And in the live TV moment, I repeated the story, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And she's like, you know, I made a mistake. And for that, I apologize. So she just repeats. Like not conjecture. And by the way, people have been looking for like the reports that she's talking about. So she repeats this, and this story went wild. Like everyone, oh, Trump is trying to tank the ceasefire discussion. He doesn't want this ceasefire discussion. He's trying to because of the Harris campaign, and they were trying to really make him look bad. And this is what, and then she has to come out and say, well, this is based on not my original reporting. Not that. This was, oh my gosh. Do you not have a responsibility? Because she calls herself a journalist, right? Does she not have a responsibility to, I don't know, maybe just be somewhat honest and accurate when you're repeating news? Oh my gosh. I mean, she makes it up entirely. What she did, because people are like, where are these stories that are saying this? She's making it up entirely. And she says, I'm just reporting this from, and I'm looking actually at, I'm looking at her tweet. I'm just reporting this, you know, from Axios and Reuters and that, except it's not there. Both sides, everybody was denying it. They're like, wait a minute, here's the problem. The original, and this is what I have, the original reporting that they had on it. They were reporting on the ceasefire. It didn't have anything about Trump calling them. They actually wrote a second piece about this saying Netanyahu's office denies a call with Trump about the Gaza hostage ceasefire deal. They had a whole story denying that ever happened. They never claimed that it happened. They just said that this was like floating around and he denied it and it never happened. Literally no one, not Axios. And I didn't even find anything with Reuters. Like Axios had a piece where they were dispelling this. Reuters didn't even have one. No one, literally nobody had that. Nobody was running that as a story. There was no outlet at all whatsoever that was reporting that as a fact. Nobody was saying Donald Trump is calling Benjamin Netanyahu and telling him not to accept this ceasefire. Not a single one. Not a single one. She literally made it up. She pulled it out of her ass and ran with it. She made it up entirely. And she is still on air. Her salary is paid for by us. She is Judy Woodruff is a glorified welfare recipient on the taxpayer teat as part of PBS, which is under Corporation for Public Broadcasting, which receives $500 million taxpayer dollars every year. Their appropriations make that happen. And that's the level of reporting that is on PBS. She made it up. She made it up out of the ether and ran with it. And then she tries to blame two other outlets, one of which didn't even write about it at all. And the other one only wrote about how, oh, there's a rumor going around. This never happened. And she just made it up. Why are they getting public funding? Why is a government agency running with false or, dare I say, misinformation? Is this not the same government that wanted to create a disinformation czar? Is this not disinformation? I mean, this is like Dan Rather level of violations in terms of journalistic ethics. Judy Woodruff. That's insane. She's like, oh, I'm sorry. I read it there. She doubled down and that was her response. So she lied about a story on stage. Then she lied on Twitter defending herself about it. You do not loathe the press enough.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
If you don't do the air cowbell, can you really say that you're a fan of Blue Oyster Cult? Just don't know. Semi-truck crash, splattered I-94 with salad dressing. Detroit Free Press. It was an unsavory incident. It happened in St. Clair Shores. Michigan Department of Transportation showed the whole... Oh, that is an absolute mess. It's everywhere. That's how you get ants. That's how you get ants. What kind of salad dressing was it? It doesn't say. It just says salad dressing. Maybe it was like a selection of various dressings.
For Kamala's word salad.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, the Florida man that had that, I missed a very important element. The Florida man that had the head surgery, right, in the plane that had to be, that was thrown off the plane, he had hair plugs. That's why his scalp was still bleeding. And they thought it was a bright idea to get with grody bandages under the, okay, there you go. That's, I'm sick. I can't talk about it anymore. Another Guinness World, what? Why do people do this? Someone says this chick has the fattest tongue. And that's like apparently a world record. You're proud of that? That's a thing that we're doing with the Guinness World Records? Okay. Yeah, 2,000 pounds of frozen fish missing after a flight diversion. I'm sure that's totally accidental. That's what everyone's asking. How does a plane from Alaska get diverted? What happened? They said that passengers made it to their final destination, but their fish never did. These people went on a yearly trip to go and get fish, and they were returning from the the flight Alaska to Seattle, and it was diverted. And they said that they don't know what happened to the frozen fish. They're waiting for it still. That has to be a very expensive mistake from that airlines. You know that. We have a lot more on the way, including a very interesting point about the women that Democrats were using in their abortion stories yesterday. There's something you need to know. Stick with us.
Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast, because who says you can't make fun of people while staying informed on your own personal time? Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm a veteran. I'm a hunter. And I was a better shot than most Republicans in Congress, and I got the trophies to prove it. But I'm also a dad. I believe in the Second Amendment. But I also believe our first responsibility is to keep our kids safe. That's what this is all about.
That's Tim Walz yesterday. Governor Fudd. He's look, I'm going to tell you, when he first came out, because you knew he was going to mention this, he's like, I'm a veteran and I'm a hunter. And neither Walz nor the guns that he wants to ban ever served in combat. So stop. Don't sit here and try to wow us with, I know guns. Apparently not enough to know the difference between like a semi-automatic and a full auto. Apparently not enough to know that servicemen don't carry AR-15s. They carry M16s and M4s. Apparently he knows guns, but not enough to do that. Not that much. That's like some FUD level flexing. That's a FUD flex. That's what that was. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Bottom of this third hour. He only touched on two-way stuff. But again, they don't carry AR-15s in combat. Just like Tim Walston going to combat. Why do they keep pushing that? But you know what? Even if, I don't care. Our country was founded using weapons of war. People celebrate Independence Day, a holiday, an observance secured by free people using the same guns that our government had, weapons of war. I hate that phrase even. Anything is a weapon of war. And Democrats can never figure out where they stand on this. They're like, oh, well, you can use your AR-15s against us, but we have jets and all this other stuff. Like, wow, okay. So either it is a big enough deal to ban or it's not for you. Which is it? Pick a lane here. Pick a lane. Speaking of kids, there's a weird thing. And Lorraine over, moderates the chat that's over at Rumble and then is also a contributor over at Chapter and Verse. So she noticed this and she has a piece on one of the women mentioned. Now, here's what's weird. So one, Democrats were mentioning over and over again, abortion, abortion, abortion. And they made a big deal to try to highlight a number of women who, the way they represented it, had to get abortions and Republicans almost killed them. And they said the reason these women were in this situation is because of the abortion law. Because Roe v. Wade was overturned and it went back to the states, which I might add, again, still just a reminder, life of the mother, rape, incest, those are all still protected exceptions in every state. And so the first woman, Lorraine noted, all of these cases, these weren't cases because of abortion law. It was cases of medical malpractice. The first woman, the Texas Tribune has a story about this. She had what's referred to as like an incompetent cervix. She went to labor at 18 weeks. And the doctors had refused to induce. And this went to court. And this is what the Texas Supreme Court said. They rejected the challenge because they said that the exceptions in the law were broad enough. The doctor, she had a cervix issue. It was the doctors who refused to induce her. Medical malpractice was the issue, not the abortion law. The second woman, Caitlin Joshua, Lorraine noted that she was told her doctor would not accept a pregnant patient after week 12, which is weird because all prenatal care is incredibly important, you know, regardless, but okay. She had started bleeding at week 11, and she said that two different ERs had refused to give her pain medications, and they sent her home with orders to talk to her OBGYN in the morning, which apparently, I mean, none of this is true because when you have to bring tissue in. You have to, whenever a woman goes through a miscarriage, if it's at home, if it's not in a medical facility, you're told to bring things in because they need to make sure that you've passed everything that needs to be passed, not to get too into it. When you're treating a miscarriage, that is a miscarriage, your body's rejection of the baby naturally because something is wrong, something is happening. There's an issue there. It's not the same thing as an abortion. And again, people were asking in this case in Louisiana whether or not this was medical malpractice. Again, Hadley Duvall, this is the one who was raped by her stepfather when she was 12 years old. And she was told that she had options. She eventually had a miscarriage, according to the Associated Press. She did not get an abortion. She ended up having a miscarriage. But she was told that she had, and she did have options because this falls under one of those protected classes. She's 12, it's rape, it's incest, all of that. So these are being really misrepresented. And Lorraine has a piece back over, and I'm going to send this out in your prep email for the morning. Unless I actually, what I'm probably going to do is a write-up this evening for the DNC, and I'll have that separate in this write-up, if, again, if you're a subscriber. Kay Cox's situation is the same thing. Back in December of last year, Lorraine had a piece talking about how it was an activist doctor and an abortion rights group that were seizing on this woman's story as a way to present it as an abortion issue for Democrats. Kate Cox had two kids. She announced apparently at the convention also that she's pregnant with her third. They discovered a genetic anomaly and ultrasound showing multiple very, very serious deformities that were going to affect the child's life. I mean, whether or not the child was even going to be viable. The third pregnancy became very nightmaric for her, obviously. She had cramping. She had a lot of indicators of preterm labor. And they were wondering whether or not she was leaking amniotic fluid. She went to the ER. She was saying it was amniotic fluid, but apparently it wasn't identified as such. And apparently it was trisomy 18 was what was identified as being the issue. And the look at the case, when you look at the case, apparently her doctors were making the situation entirely worse, because doctors can't identify if there is a leak, whether or not it's amniotic fluid. It's not, you know, a mystery. And it doesn't seem like her water had broken. But apparently, in looking at the case without getting into the weeds of this specific case, it looked like she had an activist doctor. And it also looked like this woman, this Kate Cox, searched out and looked for an activist doctor, because because she had been told that her life was not at risk, that she would be able to deliver health, you know, she'd be fine. So she did not qualify for the exemption under the current law. So she went looking for an activist doctor, and that's how this case ended up coming to be. And she ended up leaving, apparently the report was to get an abortion in another state. So the problem is that there wasn't any objective evidence that this was the route to go. There was even questions as to the validity of the information that they were using to cite to justify for it. I mean, there's a lot of stuff a lot of questions from it. But the bottom line, what I'm saying here is that Democrats have been using and making these cases, and they act like rape exception, the life of the mother, are a universal thing when they are the rare exception that amounts to less than 1% of all cases for which there are already protected exemptions. So they were using issues of medical malpractice and then one protected exemption, lying about the one exemption, and then representing the other issues of two, definitely medical malpractice, one, technically could be, and trying to use those as a way to sort of pad their argument so that they could demand this abortion on demand as birth control up to the moment of birth. And it's just misrepresentation. That's what these stories are. These stories are not, I mean, this is, and Lorraine's got a big piece that lists all of these things coming up, including some of the other women that have been mentioned. But these cases, the common denominator is that these are medical malpractice cases, and the doctors are not tending or advocating for these women, their patients. So restricted abortion law has nothing to do with these cases, but they're presenting them as such so that they can try to argue for it. And they expect the media to not ask questions. They expect, and if anybody asks too many questions, what they'll say is, oh, no, this is a private issue. Well, how is it a private issue when you're making it a part of your party platform? How is it a private issue? You, the party that wanted to know whether or not someone had an injection and they had to get an ID card. You, the party that is demanding to get involved in parents who are dealing with children minor children that want to have experimental surgery on their sexual organs. Like, how are you sitting here saying that this is now you can't have it both ways. You're going to hear a lot about this tonight because Kamala Harris is going to be speaking. And this is going to be a major issue that she hits because it's all she has. She can't talk about the border. Heaven forbid, Trump's at the border today. Apparently he just got there. She can't talk about the border. She can't talk about the economy. She doesn't resonate with middle class voters. I don't know what there is left for her to try to find some way to reach people other than like do these abortion scaremongering stories. That's the only thing I can see. So This is going to be a huge. This is going to be a huge focus. I would imagine you're going to hear these women's names. I would imagine that you're going to hear about the Kate Cox lady again, and there's going to be a piece up at Substack for you about this. I got a couple of other things to get into, some audio as well, because we don't have the audio already. First up, this is Dana Bash last night. Listen to this. This is a weird soundbite. This is audio soundbite 39. And Bash is remarking on the tone of messaging that Democrats are using to reach a particular subset. Listen.
But they are doing so in trying to put forward male figures, Tim Walz being one of them, Doug Emhoff last night, who can speak to men out there who might not be the sort of testosterone-laden, you know, gun-toting kind of guy who wants to listen to Hulk Hogan and the kind of players that came out of the RNC, or might want to listen to that, but also, in addition, understand that it's okay in 2024 to be a man comfortable in his own skin who supports a woman. And that's something that they really are trying to work on with male voters.
So it sounds like they're trying to reach low T dudes.
Yeah.
Low T beta dudes. That's what I heard from her.
Yep.
What a weird remark. You know, if a Republican had said that, Democrats would be upset, right?
Brighten up your timely news consumption with a Dana Show podcast, where every update comes with a little dash of not so serious on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, you know, the vice president was returning to Chicago after having campaigned in Milwaukee earlier in the day. And she was on Air Force Two when her husband, Doug Emhoff, the second gentleman, began speaking at the convention. So the plane actually circled for an extra 15 minutes, we're told, in the sky so she could finish watching his speech. Of course,
I mean, Green knew what? Who cares about that? She's going to watch her husband for 15 minutes, give a speech. So let's burn some fuel so she can do that. Yes, she can do that because she's specialer than you. Don't forget it either. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. She's speaking tonight. Oh boy, I'm telling you. I don't know. They said that there's like rumors swirling that someone bigger than Oprah is going to be speaking at this thing tonight at the DNC. I don't know. I'm just happy that I only got one more night to watch and I'm done. One more night to follow. And I'm done. I don't expect to hear any kind of specificity with her, anything, with anything, none of it. I mean, you know, I imagine what she's going to try to do is talk. I would imagine that she's going to probably bring up the price gouging. Sorry, gauging. She said that twice. Whatever. That's crazy. And then the taxing on realized gains. That was something that they had also put out, which is one of the craziest things I've ever heard. Carol Roth is probably going to lose her mind tomorrow on the show. Kane's like immediately fidgets.
I know.
Did you break dance over there? What was that? You did like a herky jerky thing.
No, I just
hate
the fact that literally if I walked into a bank and took money that wasn't mine, that would be considered theft, stealing. Yeah. I'd go to jail. But the government can go right in there on gains you haven't even realized and charge you for it. That's literally
what if they
theft.
Lose value too?
Right. Is the government going to pay you then?
Exactly. Like, what if they lose value? Do you get money from the government? And where does that money come from? This just doesn't even make sense. It's just it's unworkable. It's just asset and capital seizure. That's all it is.
And I worry about the dollar. The way our government's been treating our money, I think the dollar on the global stage is also collapsing.
Well, the petrodollar is already gone.
So I have true, genuine, strong worries about the dollar.
Mm-hmm. So that's, imagine, that's going to be that'll be something that you're going to hear, I would imagine that you will hear. They'll give out her speech maybe a couple of hours before she gives it, but it'll be embargoed. It'll be for the press. And I would imagine it'll be abortion. She'll probably hit some of that. It's going to be mostly like how bad Trump is, even though she's been vice president for, you know, the past 4 years. And then before that, senator. So she's been, you know, in office the entire time. I'm sure she's going to try to act like she's the big prosecutor. This is one thing that they've been playing up. And we'll talk more about this tomorrow, is that she's the prosecutor going against the felon. Let's look at her prosecutorial record, though, as AG, and let's look at the injustice that she perpetuated. That's one of the things we're going to be doing tomorrow. And then we'll highlight the final day, low light the final day of the DNC. Today in Stupidity, Kane.
All right. Believe it or not, it's a Democrat. And her name's Amy Klobuchar. She's a senator from Minnesota. And she thought she was being clever, I think, in this moment where, you know, she's so anti-MAGA for whatever reason. Making America Great Again really it ticks off Democrats for whatever reason. But she's got a new suggestion is what it should be called. Cut 35 one.
Psyched to see all of you. I decided instead of the MAGA movement, we're going to start the MAMA movement. Yeah. That is Make America Michigan and Minnesota Again.
What? No, thanks. That doesn't.
How stupid is that?
But I will say this. He is, in many respects, Tim Walz, kind of like, I mean, Newsom's pretty far left. Walz has been able to go further left because he's been in Minnesota and sort of shielded from media attention. And don't underestimate that. We'll have a recap of all of that tomorrow, folks. Make sure you find us on Facebook, YouTube, like and subscribe. Find us on Substack, Chapter and Verse. I'll be back with you behind the mic tomorrow.